All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, March 5th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we already have some PGA, League of Legends, and tennis action underway on this Thursday. Good luck to all of you playing those slates. For the rest of the evening, we have a 6-game NBA main slate and an 8-game NHL slate. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me here. Why don't we get SaberSim pulled up on the screen? We did have a couple questions come in prior to the show today, so we will start there. Quick update for you guys. We will not have an office hours tomorrow on Friday, but we will be back for our Saturday show at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So I just wanted to let you guys all know about that. All right, with that said, let's get our first question up on the screen for today. So first question says, for golf as an example, what steps can I take to generate more unique lineups? When looking at Flashback, I noticed it's very important to have unique lineups and fewer dupes, but I don't know what rules or filters to apply to improve lineup uniqueness. Can you also explain the unique lineups and under 5 dupe fields that are in Contest Flashback and what they mean? For sure. So why don't we start by going back to a past golf slate. I think this will be the easiest way to discuss this. So we'll go back to February 26th. We will go to the PGA slate from that Thursday, and then we will pull up some Flashback results. All right, so let's go to the Contest tab. And let's say we're playing the Flagship. All right, so we're gonna go over to users. Let's say, you know, we're entering 20 lineups in this contest, right? So, okay, I'm gonna set entries greater than or equal to 20. I'm gonna sort by sim ROI, and then I'm gonna start kind of analyzing this. So first off, it's a little surprising to me to hear that you're having issues with duplication in weekend, or I guess it could depend what you're playing, right? In you know, full tournament, full, you know, Thursday to Sunday golf slates, this is pretty normal to see where average dupes is, you know, very low, 0, 1. These big golfer fields, you're gonna see this a lot. It isn't unless the tournament is very small, you know, when they start with like a 40-man field, or if you're playing like a weekend showdown, you know, round 3 after the cut, round 4, or even those late round 3s, late round 4s. I could imagine dukes potentially ticking up in that scenario. But here, right, from what I've seen looking at this in the past as well, dupes are not that prevalent, even though some of your lineups might be duplicated, right? So like if I even just look at the top sim ROIer, you know, they entered 150 lineups. They have 122 unique lineups. That means 28 of their lineups were played by at least one other person. But the way the math works out, the average dupes is still under 0.5. So it doesn't get rounded up. If it's 0.5 or higher, it's going to get rounded to 1. If it is, you know, 0.49 average, then it's going to show 0 here. So that's what average dupes is showing you. So like imagine they had 28. Well, they do have 28 lineups duped, but imagine they're all duped one time, right? Okay, so then it'd be 28 divided by 150. And this number is still, you know, less than half, right? I think it works some way like that. They basically like add up the dupes and then divide it in total. Under five means that you had this many lineups with less than five dupes. So the fact that this says 148, that means that this user had two lineups that were duped five or more times. So all in all, they had two lineups with, you could say, five dupes, you know, as an example. Then they had 26 lineups that were duped somewhere between one to four times. And then they had 122 lineups that were not duped at all. So that's how you read these columns. Now, as far as what you can do, so honestly, in my opinion, if my average dupes is, especially if it's zero, even if it's one, if this number for me is not higher than five, I'm probably not doing anything. If this number is between 5 and 10, then I would start to think about different options that I have. And a couple options that I've used in the past are, one, your salary restrictions, right? Typically, leaving salary on the table is a way of being unique because most people are going to use up all of the salary. Salary considerations. Number two would be some ownership considerations. Number three would be product/geomean ownership considerations. And then number four would probably be lineup construction considerations, as far as which players are most likely to be played together, probably to be able to fit as far as like a point per dollar kind of strategy goes. Hey, if you're going to pay up for Scottie Scheffler, who do you have to pay down for in order to make the salary cap work, right? And there's usually certain players that kind of grade out better value-wise that are like more likely to be paired together. So it would be as far as going to basically manage the exposures of those players, and you could set rules to do this. Hey, you know, only use one of these two players, right? That's my fourth and final option. But, you know, those are the ways that I would consider starting to account for duplication, right? So here we talked about these columns. Let's go back to, we can just use this tournament. I think it's fine. So I'll kind of walk through some of the things that I mentioned here. Let's run a build. Okay, so option one thing that we talked about was in the settings would be, you know, maybe adjusting the min-max exposure. Hey, I'm willing to play lower salary lineups, and then I definitely don't want to play the max salary. Maybe I just want to cut this super minor and go 49,900, where I'm only going to avoid max salary lineups, right? This is like one of the first things that you can try when you're trying to improve the uniqueness of your lineups. So that is one thing you can try, right? And we're starting with a super minor max adjustment there, but it could go a long way. Okay, so number two adjustment would be some ownership. Some ownership is the, I would say, less aggressive form of ownership kind of filtering that I would consider here. So I do wanna call this video out. In the Office Hours channel, in the pinned messages, I have a video talking about geometric mean, and you might not be able to see it. I'm just gonna open it. So this video breaks down the differences between some ownership, product ownership, and geometric mean ownership, and talks about the ways that you can apply that in the SaberSim app. So I would check out that video. And I'm going to link it here in the YouTube chat. And I believe this question came in Discord. So I'm going to send it to this user. from Discord as well. Okay, where is this one? Let's go to the message. Okay, jump. Copy. All right, and I'm gonna make sure this user sees this one. All right, cool. So post that in YouTube, post that in Discord. So that breaks down, you know, three, right? Sum, and the way I would do it is, you know, I would start with a sum ownership filter, right? Something super simple. Hey, show lineups with ownership less than X, right? And then I'm just gonna make up a number. I don't know, I'm gonna make up maybe 120, right? And I'm gonna call this sum own so I could use it again in the future. Sum own. And what the way I would use this is I would be trying to filter out somewhere between 10 to 20% of the highest sum owned lineups. So what I want to do is I just want to trim off some of the highest owned lineups. I don't want to consider them because I think that the higher the ownership, the more likely they are to be played by other users. So here I've chopped off 59 lineups from my 500. That's a little over 10%. And that's a perfect start, right? I think as you kind of ease in to using these things, start with some of these less restrictive concepts and then move to more restrictive, right? That's why we start with a small salary adjustment. Okay, then we move to a sum ownership filter, and then we would move to a geo mean filter, right? And then we would move to rules to group players away from each other. So going from like kind of a small adjustment to more and more aggressive adjustments. So that would be where I would start. Check out that video that I sent you, but I think you're going to want to do something like this, and that would be my starting point. All right. Good first question. Next question coming up. Hey, Andrew, when I have played the NBA Dime Times, the post-contest sim ROI, you will see 60 to 70% post-contest sims regularly. You think this is accurate or something else going on? Good question. I think that, you know, the Dime Times are probably some of the, I would imagine they're probably some of the softest contests in the lobby, right? I think that just due to their entry fee and due to their low top prize, they, you know, one, the best players in the lobby can't see it because it's under $3. And then two, I think that the good players that can see it, the top prize isn't enticing enough to kind of draw them into those contests, and they probably just skip them for other larger contests with a higher price to first. So I think especially if you're, you know, kind of getting into MMEing and you're getting, you know, trying to get introduced to Saber Sim and managing multiple contests and entering more lineups, I think they're a great place to start. Those ROIs don't seem unreasonable. And I would totally be willing to play those. Okay, next question from David. All right, next question. My question is along the same lines as Neil's question, okay? But regarding NBA basketball showdown slates, all right, this is contests where dupes are way more prevalent. I am entering GPPs with between 1K and 10K participants. Most of my lineups have many dupes, like between 10 and sometimes 60 dupes. Am I just competing against too many other SaberSim customers that are using the same lineups as me? Or can I do something to reduce my dupe rate while still having a positive ROI? So number one is I do not think you are playing a large amount of SaberSim users, and that's the reason why you're duping. I think all in all, you know, SaberSim users take up a smaller piece of the pie as far as the contest lobby than most people think. That being said, you know, as far as duplication goes, I worry about duplication on like a contest level, not like a SaberSim level, right? So that's like one part of it. I think just an NBA showdown, because NBA is such a projection-based sport, that the pool of positive EV lineups is just lower and more people are likely to end up on the same lineups. So being unique in NBA showdown is very, very challenging. I think that if you can be somewhere between, you know, 5 to 20 average dupes, that's actually really impressive. And, you know, those are probably good lineups, like long-term. You know, dupes, right, always kind of work on a spectrum. You know, I've talked about this, but it's an important thing to kind of grasp. And you'll see different players, you know, play different ways for sure. So just like imagine that any lineup along this line has the same sim ROI, okay? And then this side is going to be dupes, and then this side is going to be projection, right? It is okay to play a lineup that is high duped. The catch is it also has to be high projected. If you're playing high duped lineups, but they are not high projected and they fall somewhere over here, this is a bad lineup. This is probably negative sim ROI, not going to grade out super well. Same is true on the opposite way. It is okay to play low duped lineup. I mean, low projected lineups. It is totally okay to play low projected lineups, but they have to be low duped. If you're going to go low projection, you have to go low dupe. So you can either do one of two, right? You can go high dupes, high projection. You can do low projection, low dupes. What you can't do is you cannot go high dupes, low projection. You know, this lineup here with the low projection is not good. So you'll see players play on opposite sides of this spectrum, right? Some are going for, hey, I want to win more often, right? So like the user who is up here, this user effectively needs to win more times, right? Like in a season, they might need to win 3 times in order to see a profit, right? The user down here, they're taking a higher risk approach where they need to win less, but they are probably going to lose more on average. So like this user, they might only need to win 1 time a season to pay for their losses because they're going to retain more of the first place prize when they win. But when they are not winning, they are more likely to see high negative ROI days, negative 70%, negative 80%, negative 90%. This user, you know, their floor is a little bit higher, but their upside is capped because they are more duped. So they might lose a little less. They might lose 50%, 60%. But when they win, they're not going to get as much as the other user. So they might need to win the contest 2 times, 3 times in a season in order to, you know, make enough money. So there's, you know, neither of these approaches are wrong. It just kind of depends what side of the spectrum you want to come from and which one makes more sense to you. So those are the things that I would be thinking about. But all the ways we talked about being unique with regards to golf would also apply to NBA as well. All right. Next question. Do you think the lineups that win a tournament usually come from the top ROI lineups, or does it often come from somewhere else in the pool? I haven't looked into this enough to give you like an actual answer. I think that, you know, from what I've seen, right, and like kind of in like my experience, you know, as well, I've always tried to be a positive sim ROI player. I care more about my user sim ROI in Flashback than I care about any individual lineups ROI. I think it's almost impossible to play, you know, if you're playing 20 lineups, for all 20 to be positive sim ROI, it's not impossible, but it is hard, right? If you won 50, it makes it even harder. I think that at the end of the day, I want to know, am I entering more positive sim ROI lineups than negative, right? And that's what the user value shows me, right? It adds it up, it finds the average, and it tells you, hey, on average, your lineups are positive sim ROI or they are negative sim ROI. And I think that, you know, if you can focus on raising that number, it's okay if you have some negative sim ROI lineups in there because ownership is never going to be perfect. You know, lineups might be constructed in slightly different ways, or players might be played more or played a little bit less. So you got to just do the best you can And I think that, you know, that's kind of the metric that I'm more focused on when I go back and look, not really whether the lineup that won was positive or negative. You know, if a negative sim ROI lineup wins, that happens. I want to go and look at that user, right? What did that user do? How was their user sim ROI? What decisions did they make in all of their lineups together across their portfolio? And, you know, which helped them to land on the winning lineup. All right. Jumping over to YouTube chat. Question here. Question, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. When using the standard subscription, is it better to use Portfolio or Minuniques with SaberScore? Thanks. Good question. I prefer using Portfolio, right? I think Portfolio is the best. So the way I would probably grade these, right? If I had to grade these. Where is this? This will work. Let's go new. Don't save. Text. So I would say Portfolio Plus is the best. And then I would say Portfolio is the second best. And then I would say SaberScore is third best. And then I'd probably like Percentiles. Personally. And then I would probably go projected score. This would be probably my hierarchy of sorting metrics and how I would use them slash grade them. So Portfolio Plus, Portfolio, Saber score, Percentiles, projected score. All three of these are all via Minuniques, just so we're on the same page. So these three are, you know, via Minuniques. So that would be what I would roll with. And it looks like I got cut off because the screen wasn't bigger, but I think you guys get the gist there. So that was my thoughts. All right, keeping it rolling. Next question. Explain sim diversity again, please. What does lower mean? Good question. So sim diversity, okay? And for golf, there's only sim diversity. There's no correlation. When it is easiest to understand it at the extremes, which are the ends here. So sim diversity one would mean for golf, for example, we take one simulation of the entire tournament and we use the results of that one sim to build your lineup. And then when we go to build lineup number two, we take a new random sim from our database, use the results of that, build lineup two, et cetera, et cetera. At zero, okay, we're gonna jump all the way to the other side of the spectrum. At zero, we are using all of these sims in our database. And the scores that we're going to use to evaluate players are the average across all the sims, which is the projection. The projection is an average of how the player performed across all the sims in our database. So, you know, in one individual sim, right, Shane Lowry might score 100 points, but on average, he scores 81, right? So when we're taking one sim, he could score 100, he could score 60, he could score anywhere in between, right? On average, he scores 81. So at zero, we're using the 81 metric. Anything in between, okay, we go from using all of the sims at zero, and we slowly approach using one final sim, one single sim. So at 100, we might use 300 sims. At 2, we might use 250, right? And then we're going to use less and less sims the higher the sim diversity goes. So at 8 sim diversity, we might be using 20 sims or something like that. And then up until we get to 10, where we are only using one single sim. So that's what sim diversity is. All right, next question. With my standard subscription, my pool is set at 1500, so should I switch it to 1500 to 500 in my lineup pool? No, you should always build the maximum number of lineups that your plan allows. So there are a lot of different plans over the years, grandfathered plans. We don't sell the 1500 subscription one anymore. It's like an older plan. We have the 500 pool subscription and the 5000 pool subscription. The reason you always want to build the maximum number of lineups is because when you use sim mode, your lineups are not built in order of strength, okay? All of your lineups are randomly generated and then they get graded afterwards. So what happens is in the lineup building process, we're randomly sampling the sims, right? The lineups get built based on the results. The lineups go into the pool. It isn't until they are in the pool that we figure out the Saber score or we figure out the ROI. And then we shuffle them all around to figure out which one is the best, which one is the worst. So in theory, your best lineup could be built last. So that's why you always want to give yourself as many lineups as you can to give yourself the best chances of finding a really strong lineup. The reason I set it to 500 is just for time purposes. I don't want to sit here and wait for 5,000 lineups to build. I'd rather keep the show moving and answering questions, and we can demonstrate everything we need to demonstrate with a 500 lineup pool. So if you can build 1,500, build 1,500, never build less. The only reason I could ever imagine building less is if you're in a time crunch, right? Hey, there are 3 minutes left to lock. I need to run a new build. Maybe I chop my pool down to try and save a little time, right? That's a very extreme example, not something you're going to run into a lot. But that is probably the only reason I would do that. All right. Looking around here in YouTube and Discord, think we are all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As a reminder, I will not be doing a show tomorrow on Friday. Instead, we will be back on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So until then,